everyone.
So my mom would just do something.
Yeah, maybe we should.
I'm Julia, don't be moving.
Pick it up.
Lance.
Yep.
I'm Vanessa. I work at the physics room.
I'm Rod. I'm a guide at the art gallery.
Oh, really? I'm Sophie, and I also work at the physics room.
I'm Peter. I'm a guitarist in Pupil Mountain Eagle.
And?
I work at the art gallery.
The art gallery.
An art gallery.
Okay.
I'm
Anita,
and I'm interning at the physics room from Wellington.
I'm Linda, I'm a painter.
I'm Kate from the physics room.
I'm Julie, and I'm an art
historian. And I'm Pip, and I'm a primary school teacher and a lover of art.
I'm Lance, and I'm a painter.
Cool. I guess the kind of catalyst for this evening was knowing that we wouldn't quite have the opportunity of Georgie having an artist talk during the course of the show, because of her busy schedule, but also because she lives in Dunedin. So I guess we were talking about what would be maybe interesting for her to have happen as some form of artist talk or a consideration of her work. And what we ended up with was just for her, she'd love to hear a little bit more about people's take on her practice. And also, I guess, for the physics room and for us, it was a good opportunity to invite some people.
Hi, Ari, how are you?
To come along and do the same. So I guess in as much as it's, an informal setting, we have got a few sort of questions that we thought we'd kind of put to everyone, and Sophie's had a bit of a think about that, just as a catalyst for, I guess, a discussion that can just evolve as we go. So, yeah, take it away.
Oh, I guess, well, they're wonderful works, so I think they're amazing to be able to discuss a little bit about them. And it's excellent that we've got a couple of people who are particularly knowledgeable about painting as a painter and an art historian who's kind of familiar with female artists and things like that. So I was kind of wanting to, thought we could start off with looking at how they're kind of intimate rooms and whether these like little architectural spaces kind of are part of something bigger. Do you think that they're sort of personal, like they kind of look like sets, but I'm wondering whether they kind of contribute together to make a greater whole of personal spaces.
They look like?
They kind of look like sets, because they're only like three walls.
Right.
So like a kind of a set for a film, sort of something that something
a
would play out.
Yes,
within,
and particularly that one.
Mm.
It's actually quite theatrical. So
it is.
A horseshoe wreath.
Looks like a stage.
Mm.
Doesn't it, when you look through?
I think also the fact that so many of the surfaces of the architecture look like they could be sort of landscapes in and of themselves.
Mm.
The horseshoe wreath work, I think, is particularly kind of...
Yes.
It makes sense.
Well, I suppose it's there's a geometry.
Yeah.
Geometry and structure is very much part of it. And whether they're rooms or stage sets, you've got lines of geometry, haven't you, which seem to contain, and yet at the same time, they're open very often at the top of the words. At the same time as that geometry, which is man-made, human-made, structured, you have kind of organic forms. You have water, you've got elements, water, and almost suggestive of natural elements and of life.
So
as well as something lit, the red, which yes, which look organic.
Mm.
So you have those two elements. To me, I hadn't read about what Georgia said, something about private and public space.
Mm.
We walked in here and I saw it something like enclosed and man-made,
a personal
and something
space
organic
here
as well, and natural, of water and like sky, and something growing, or red with blood, something alive in that way.
I actually looked at the thing about the texture of it. It adds a dynamic element to the fixed geometric spaces. It's as if they are opening up, that they're not as constraining as they might seem at first, that they let you go through, and that there is in some way I find them extremely optimistic. I don't know why it is, but it's just calming and optimistic works. And I think it's something to do with that, almost the gentle dynamism that's built into the texture. And then with the, so that the passion, the red parts, the red elements, are sneaking out. And I love the way the passion seems to leak into, as you see the reds that's leaking into other parts of the structure, reaching through. So.
Yeah, she's done an amazing balance of kind of keeping it kind of restricted, but also being allowing it to go free as well, which I think is really important. Mm. Having all the little windows to be able to look through and
something that
so it goes further.
There's something. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Opens out.
Just extension, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, which I guess goes back to that question you sort of started with. You know, what's beyond some of these surfaces? Because so often, you know, as we've been talking about, they are kind of clouded but still have that possibility to think beyond or kind of see into a bit further.
Mm.
Yeah. It's funny that you were talking about optimism because I find them really unsettling.
Yes,
I
think
they're really blood, yeah.
Mm.
Kind of.
Might be a contrast to something.
So why do you find them unsettling?
I think they provoke me to consider them more closely. And that's really nice in any work, but I think they do require some patient consideration. You know, there's a lot of detail, there's a lot of those kinds of things that you begin to see if you're looking at the works for long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Many of those kind of clouded surfaces are quite carefully mirrored, and so Georgie kind of uses the material to just sort of stretch things out, but double things, which I guess gets to those kind of psychological, I guess, blotch print kind of area of things as well.
And the plants, there seem to be this suggestion of things that are growing, and yet they're red.
Is it blue or what?
They're stunted though.
Yeah, they're stunted.
This one especially seems stunted.
Has she said to you what the meaning of them is?
Yeah, because I think I read that one as being an orchid that just has grown these weird mutated bud forms, which orchids don't grow because they just flower. Well, they do, but the buds are never that big and extended up the top like that.
Yes, I found there's plant forms which occur that are. Growth seems to be. I don't know if it's been stopped or it's beginning or it will come. And it's
but it's red. So
yes, it's red. I mean, it's not green.
Yeah.
It's opposite.
Yeah.
Sort of the idea of like a surgical room or spring someone when I first saw them.
Yes.
Yeah, some kind of, I don't know,
experimental.
Is it something to do with the sterility or the...
The sterility and the, looking like sort of blood vessels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think how they pulse thing with
it. So we thought that was really gynecological.
Yeah, that's right. So that
one.
Yeah.
It's
physically
today,
it's of the body. Mm. It's all sort of mining a kind of surrealist sort of space, so psychological space.
Mm.
I think
it's,
they could kind of, the plants could operate like arteries rather than branches and stems if they're red.
That's right.
Chopped up ones.
The duck shoots.
Yeah.
So
they don't seem
like
deep
arteries.
They seem deep to you. They don't seem deep to me.
They don't seem deep to me because
they're
upright, but they seem deep to me because they're not completely formed in my mind, because that's not what that plant that I think it is looks like.
But some of the plants don't have like roots or anything. Like these ones, they almost kind of springs out in the middle. Looks like a hand almost.
I
don't
like it.
Yeah. I was talking with someone the other day, and we came up with the idea that they might be some kind of, you know, sort of coral formation.
Mm.
And coral became kind of an interesting way of me thinking through the work that day. Because I guess coral is one of those strange things where it's inanimate, but it's
living.
Yeah. And it's a rock, but it's kind of an animal, and it, like, what is it? And it lives in the ocean, and it's kind of this unknown. But very important kind of building block in something larger.
So the red, the scarlet red, it's talk is about life forms, organic life forms, whereas the other parts, elements, although I see them moving, they're about the natural formations, the stone, rock, landscape type formation, as opposed to the inner life forms. Mm.
There seemed to be suggestion of sky.
Yeah.
Seemed to be suggestion of flow of water in something. Mm. These elements.
But there seems to be a suggestion that there's no
top
as well. That it's
that's
like a white well. Because that's the only one with something in it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that third dimension is missing. It's like the sixth dimension. It's like whatever.
It's on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing, it's not...
So that reads water to me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a flood?
I think it's helped along by the watercolour technique as well. She's kind of done.
And I think what's extraordinary is really how minimal it is, how it operates, really, how much it suggests with such a limited kind of vocabulary that is used in multiple ways. And that's another of its strengths, I think.
And it's true.
Pardon?
It's really true.
Mm.
Multiple.
Yes.
It communicates.
Which is exciting about it, isn't it?
It sort of hints at different types of things, and whether what context you're sort of viewing it from, it will come alive from different perspectives. That's, yeah. Is that what you're sort of...
It's an, I was also saying it really operates... There is not a lot of variety. Well, no, that's not. That's what you meant. That's contradictory. There is. It has multiple meanings, but actually, it has. What does it use? Straight lines, a kind of containing, so a container or a stage. So it has a it's limited in its forms, but how many different pictures she's made. Which open up so many different meanings while she's using how much colour is there? Not much. Is there grey? How many different forms are there? Not many.
Mm.
It's a, but she has...
In each of the works, it's the same colour.
Yes, it is. Exactly. It's economical in terms of the vocabulary that
variable,
she's using.
Lots of variety.
But she can bring... she can use those...
Yeah.
She can express
the
meanings.
Endless possibilities.
Yes. Do you have I explained it?
I guess I was wondering whether that might also kind of take us back to that idea of sort of a platform or a, like a theatre. Because, you know, like a theatre is essentially just the same room, same set of chairs, different sets, different narratives.
Yes, that is a nice idea, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
As a set where... comparable to a theatre where you have you place scenes.
I'm wondering whether she chose the colours specifically because they can be interpreted in like so many different ways. Like blood can be signal death and life, and then blue and be water and sky.
Yes, that's nice.
Yeah.
So what about the negative spaces? Because they're very deliberately placed. I know we talked about this. Being open and top.
Are you talking about that being a negative space?
The negative, yes, the unpainted sections.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't tell whether it's like a window, that the blue one looks like a window in that one, but then there's a white section on there. And
just a small white section.
Yeah. Just open, communicating.
But it seems to be an element in all.
But yeah, there's a section out of the bottom of that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a section out of the middle. So there's
like
one section removed. Apart from this,
The one down the end's got that, use the pink, the red differently as the wash.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't have that coverage on the floor that.
And it's not always.
And it hasn't got much blue in it either.
Decorate. The pattern that's in the red.
That one seems quite different to these.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if it's because it's down the end away from them that I think that, but then it's maybe been placed there for a reason?
Because of the lack of the different colours restrictions? Or?
Oh, it just seems... Well, I mean, there's a focal point at the end of it, you know, that draws you down there like all of these ones do, but other than that, it just seems quite different.
Well, circular, which is, as against the end of it, this is circular. Just more of a tighter strange.
One of the things I was particularly interested in with having Julie and Brenda here was the whole how Georgie kind of sits in within the like female artists that are from New Zealand. Because they're quite unusual works. Like I can't say that I've ever really encountered paintings like this before. Mm. I was just wondering what you both thought about how it sat with her peers or other painters.
Well, it does seem to me that she... it does seem to be a bit of a thing happening now with young painters where they're starting to use this kind of technique, watercolour technique, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah, we were laughing earlier today. Jamie Richardson, who's our technician, has just done really beautiful watercolour works that are on show across Manukau. Mm. And we were trying to get him along, you know, as, you know, like a young artist who's using a medium that's got, you know, a certain kind of history and tradition and use behind it, but is, you know, breaking that mould and his own kind of...
There's no question that watercolour...
Do you think it's a fashion, like that kind of fashion that happened about, I don't know, 5 years ago when everyone decided that painting on MDF was cooler than painting on stretched canvas, you know? Mm-hmm. So they'd all order MDF boards, and then maybe that's kind of gone away and now paper's easier. But why does that
particle?
I don't know if it's a fashion. I think what happens is it starts to happen and then people see its potential and mm-hmm. wants to try it, so it just becomes...
But watercolour is quite difficult because it's not just like, you know, you've got to really...
Artists are pretty generally kind of brave that way, aren't they? So they're willing to try. I mean, this is...
takes great skill.
Yes, it does. And control.
Virtuoso.
Yeah.
With the... We're saying, when you look, you can find her signature. She's put her signature, isn't she?
In
the minutest...
Oh, okay.
Oh yes. It's in that. It's in that. It's in the red.
Extras.
And it's in that one too. She's signed
one. You can't see them.
That's right, but isn't that also a delight in her skill?
Mm. Even
and leaving her name there in that in that sort of disguised way. It's so skillful, isn't it?
The way she's used the, even the bits where it appears that she hasn't got the control, takes enormous control as well. So.
Mm.
And you wonder how she's dealt with the edges and colour and everything.
Yeah, how she's masked off like the... those two? I wonder whether she must have used tape or something. She must have.
Not necessarily.
Not if you do it in stages. Yeah. But that's the trickery of the medium, I think, that no one really has the patience for sometimes. Maybe apart from Brenda and Georgia.
The patience is... obviously, she's just got fantastic concentration.
Lots of time. Like a surgeon.
It is.
It's
precision. It's sharp.
Slices of... I'd noticed there was looks like slices, cross sections laid out to observe, or and there's sort of like something growing there, or maybe it's not, it's pulled out, or but it's just what I think anyway. Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's like the technique seems to go into ideas of it.
And I was just saying it relates to also that tradition of watercolour, how watercolour was first used in. I don't want to conjecture, but
just
hope it can't help it. That's the time of my life. And it relates to that topography, you know, where watercolour was used before the age of photography, when people went on journeys and they made a record of what they saw, and it was the medium that they used to, with the pencil and the wash, to record. To record what they saw. And in New Zealand, they used watercolour in that way, of sharpness and clarity.
And Georgie's taken that care, isn't she?
Yes, she has. She's working in that way, isn't she? That because watercolour, you can work like Spencer Barr.
Yeah,
we can work like those little ones of Angus, of Otago, are like this.
Yeah.
One of... sharpness and of absolute control.
Yeah, I think it's really nice to hear that power, because although you can sense elements of landscape in these works, we can read things that could echo oceans, we can see things that could be clouds or hills, that sense of recording something, a journey,
that's right,
works very well with these, because, you know, personal spaces and the things that you choose to keep around you are those kind of markers and those memorials, and I guess
I feel like the names are definitely
they use that to this medium to go and make records when they went to Greece or to Asia Minor, as they called it, and, or to on the grand tour to Italy. They would make the building a record. It was the medium of documenting your journey, travel.
Architects tend to work in that way.
And architects do, that's right. Yes, they do in a building. Miles Warren,
that's right.
And we've got some architectural sort of studies, and they're just exquisite.
And they get loose a wee bit sometimes, in that kind of really controlled way, but mostly just. So they have that juxtaposition of this. For example, an architect in a drawing would describe sky, but where they needed to describe something really carefully, very carefully.
So do you see the pencil being laid first? I imagine it going on after, certainly the detailed, intricate work I saw growing. In fact, I can see it growing now, it's growing in front of me. But would it have been done first, before the...
Well, these were carefully planned.
Yes, I mean, it would have taken ages, layering of the different greens and blues.
Well, my guess is the areas of the kind of decorative areas within the red, just to guess that she probably lets herself evolve, maybe. What do you think?
Has she got that architectural background? I don't know anything about it.
I don't know either. No.
It's fine. It's just a stage. Costume designer. That.
Ah, does she? She's done.
And has she spoken to anybody about the meanings of these? Or does anybody know? Or are you just testing us?
Because I was
testing. Did you do the homework?
I was wondering, because I didn't get to talk to Georgie much when she was here, but I always look at them and go, oh, where is that? Especially this one, because I'm trying to work out where that L-shaped counter is. But then, is it a real... And then I didn't want to ask if it was real, because I kind of don't want it to be real, but then I keep going, where, what shop is that, or what, you know, where has she found that, that she's then derived from? Do you know that? Did you ever ask her if they were real environments that she's manipulated, or if they were completely imaginary?
No, to be honest, I didn't.
Because I want to know, when I know I don't want to know about it anymore, I'd rather go back to wondering still, but I still want to know.
Yeah. No, it's a question.
Because they must have come from somewhere that she's experienced a space and maybe felt a certain way in that space as well.
Could be a dream, might not be the outside world, I guess.
Because it's more and I've bought another book. it has that kind of surreal, doesn't it? And I was just looking at the man called Paul Nash in the 1930s, who made these kind of surreal watercolours as well.
We're hanging her work alongside of the prisoners. You know, the prison, which are surreal as well.
You're hanging this work with it.
Well, I know another work we've purchased.
Georgie's?
Yeah.
Of Georgie's.
So it's kind of in the new hand. It's not like Piranesi and Redon.
A builder, yes. A good juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Is that new hand?
To me, they're very surreal. I think especially with this.
They are.
They
are.
And in terms of the women's thing, I certainly think of Frida Kahlo and other things.